All right, we'll call the meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals to order. Will the secretary, please call the roll?
Sure. Mr. Bernie?
Here.
Mr. Lucchese?
Here.
Ms. O'Brien?
Here.
Ms. Schupiegel?
Here.
Mr. Smetana?
Here.
Member Dombrowski is absent. Chairman Martin?
Here.
All right.
We have a quorum.
Yes.
The first matter on the agenda this evening is the approval of the minutes from our meeting on March 12th. Everyone has had an opportunity to review these minutes. Will somebody make a motion to approve them?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All right, any discussion? You want to call the roll, please?
Sure.
You better abstain.
Ms. Schupiegel?
Yes.
Mr. Smetana?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski is absent. Mr. Bernie?
Yes.
He abstains because he wasn't here.
Do you want to change your vote?
No, he wasn't here.
Chairman Martin?
Here. Get everybody? All right, so the next matter on the agenda this evening is the request for a text amendment. Because of the fact that we are meeting remotely like this, we will ask that the proposed amendment be presented, and then we'll see if there's anyone in attendance who wants to add anything or address the board concerning this proposed amendment. So I'm going to present it.
I will present on behalf of the village.
Okay.
Okay. So the village board has forwarded a petition for a text amendment to the Zoning Board of Appeals. There was a request that came in from Village of River Forest resident Laura Riff regarding home baking operations. Any resident has the right to request a text amendment. However, the village is presenting this text amendment on her behalf as the petitioner. The background on this is that until recently, the state of Illinois did not allow people to sell foods that were baked at home kitchen operations directly to consumers. They were required to prepare those baked goods in commercially licensed kitchens. The state has relaxed those requirements, and it is allowing people to sell certain baked goods made in home kitchen operations directly to consumers if the municipality allows it by adopting a local ordinance. If food is non-potentially hazardous baked goods, meaning baked goods such as but not limited to breads, cookies, cakes, pies, and pastries, and there's a category of different high-acid fruit pies that are allowed. And the other condition is that the monthly gross sales are limited to under $1,000, and the food is labeled as being produced in a home kitchen and with the food name and allergy information. Under this state law, in order to allow home kitchen operations, the village would have to adopt local regulations in order to permit it. We would have to modify our zoning regulations, which is the purpose of tonight's meeting, and also health and sanitation regulations. The village contracts out its health and sanitation services to a licensed food sanitarian. And if this is, if there's a recommendation of approval for the text amendment, we will have the sanitation expert get started modifying the village's health code to ensure that there are proper safety procedures and protocols for home kitchen operations and home cooking operations. A home kitchen operation under our zoning title is considered a home occupation under Section 10.3.1 of the zoning ordinance, and we currently allow home occupations in residential dwellings, but we've identified a few guidelines within our home occupation regulations that would make it difficult in order to operate a home baking operation. So the text amendment before you tonight is to modify conditions under the home occupation definition to permit home baking operations. Specifically, condition O states that a special use permit shall be required for any home occupation involving the handling or preparation of food. This condition requires a home kitchen operation to first receive a special use permit before opening up because it is a home occupation involving the handling or preparation of food. A special use permit can only be granted after submitting an application to the ZBA, a public hearing, and a recommendation to the Village Board of Trustees. The proposed condition, the proposed text amendment would read, a special use permit shall be required for any home occupation involving the handling or preparation of food, except that no special use permit shall be required for a, quote, home kitchen operation, end quote, as defined in 410 ILCS 625-3.6 as amended. The other condition within the definition of home occupation is condition F, which states that no stock in trade or other commodity shall be kept, displayed, sold, or offered for sale upon the premises, except that sales by electronic means, which otherwise comply with this definition, are permitted. The language storage of stock in trade or other commodities at home presents a challenge for home baking operations, as a home baking operation would likely need to store commodities such as flour, sugar, eggs, et cetera, which would violate that condition. So the proposed text amendment is to amend condition F to read, no stock in trade or other commodity shall be kept, displayed, sold, or offered for sale upon the premises, except one, that sales by electronic means, which otherwise comply with this definition, are permitted, and two, that stock in trade and commodities may be kept upon the premises of a home kitchen operation as defined in 410 ILCS 625-3.6 as amended. So that is the petition that is before the Zoning Board of Appeals tonight.
Any questions at this time?
Special use permit.
Whoever's going to speak.
What other? Tagger O'Brien. I was asking a question about the special use permit. When are those needed in other circumstances?
I'm not sure I understand your question, Tagger. Are you asking about which land uses require a special use permit?
Well, no. If this is asking for a special use permit to not be needed?
Correct.
Are there other similar circumstances where a special use permit is needed?
For home occupations?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Well, just in terms of like, is it simply that this agency or individual that we're hiring to certify this kitchen or how things are done? Does that in any way leave the village liable if there's a problem, meaning a health problem with the products or how it's done?
No, my understanding is that there is some protection for the village in that. I believe there will be some regulations and some indemnification that is built into this, in that we may establish local application requirements and certain indemnifications if the attorneys think that they're necessary in order to allow that this occurs. But my understanding is that the responsibility really ultimately lies with the producer.
That's correct. I mean, sure. Thanks. Village Attorney Carmen Forte, sorry my video cut out, but as long as the village is pursuing health inspections or pursuing the programs that they're going to have in place to inspect these facilities, there is immunity under the Tort Immunity Act for either failure to follow your ordinances or to follow them in a manner that is not willful or wanton, that would be considered negligent. So the simple answer to your question is if somebody is affected by a condition at these locations, the village's what I can assume would be robust inspection program and regular inspection program would protect it from liability. Certainly to anything that it was not aware of. If it was aware of, that's a different story, but that's not really something that we'd have to consider this evening.
So, Sugar Beet on Ashland here had a commercial kitchen, a shared kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that handled by the village?
That is licensed as a commercial kitchen, and that is inspected on whatever basis the state requires in terms of annual inspections. There, the state regulations divide food licensure or food operations to high, medium, and low-risk categories. Depending on what type of category you are, that dictates how many inspections are needed on an annual basis, so yeah. Anywhere from 1 to 3 inspections. So that particular facility is inspected in accordance with the state requirements, and then any new applicant that comes in, because it's almost like not a co-op, I can't think of the right word, but there are different entities that use that particular kitchen to produce their food items,
right,
in order for sale at other locations. So anytime there is a new vendor who comes in or a new member to use that kitchen, they have to submit certain documents to the health inspector, and they have to have an inspection performed before they begin operating in that facility.
Right. So if we change the ordinance, then people that may be using that wouldn't even have to use that. They could do it at their home.
That's true.
Is that use that Mr. Burney was questioning, is that a permitted use under the code?
Yes, it is.
So that's different than what the situation is right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so that's not considered a home occupation. That's a property that's zoned and used differently. It's primarily residential structure. So,
and one of the considerations of this this use that's contained in the state statute is that there shall be no additional modifications to the residential structure itself. A shared kitchen likely mirrors a commercial kitchen
right.
in its capabilities. Now, certainly somebody could install a new range or a new hood in their home, but they're not going to be allowed to do things such as building a kitchen in their garage. It has to be inside of a dwelling unit. They're not going to be able to, you know, expand their current facilities other than you would have in a normal home.
All right. Any other questions?
Yeah. How do we arrive at the $1,000 gross sales per month?
That's within the state's regulations.
That's the state's regulation. Okay.
Sales are all online, so per order. Yeah. No signage. No.
Sure. Not necessarily. No. I mean, certainly the vendors can have an online presence, but I think the purpose of this was to really be able to allow people who are baking or making low-risk items to be able to go and sell at farmers markets. So they may be able to sell online, but they may also be able to take their goods to farmers markets or other types of events where you might see food items sold.
And the village code does not allow any signage, mm-hmm. Any other exterior signs or lighting that would be ancillary to a residential unit. So as was stated, somebody could pick up or purchase at the location, but you also can't have increased traffic, mm-hmm. other types of nuisances, like you would not be allowed with any other home business.
Okay, any other board members have questions?
Okay.
All right, so I'm not sure who is out there other than the board members that wants to address this tonight. I know that Mrs. Reif identified herself. If you you submitted a letter to us earlier today, which we have and have an opportunity to review, it's customary that our witnesses get sworn in. So I'm going to let Lisa swear you in, and then you can make your statement to the board.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so I'm going to read something, and when I conclude what I'm reading and the question that I'm going to pose, you can just simply respond by saying I do.
Okay.
To those who will testify at the public hearing, you were reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, you can proceed, please.
Thank you. So I am Laura Riff. I'm the individual who petitioned the village to consider this amendment. And as was noted, I did submit a written comment, which I believe will be in the record for this hearing. So I won't just read that to you, but I do just want to give you a little bit of background on who I am and why I asked the village to consider this amendment. And also just note that this isn't breaking any kind of, terribly new ground. Oak Park has adopted an ordinance like this, as have a number of other counties and municipalities in Illinois. And as was also noted, the idea here is for home bakers like myself to be able to sell relatively low-risk items. I personally am a cake designer and make cakes, cupcakes primarily, and also some cookies and brownies. So these are low-risk items. I am also a certified food manager. My understanding is that Oak Park requires if you're going to sell from your home, that you have a sanitation license like that. And so I have received mine so that when River Forest hopefully does adopt this amendment, I'll be ready to go. And, did 8 hours of training associated with that on proper handling of food. And as was also mentioned, there are a couple of limitations in the law that really restrict this to small-scale bakers, like the limitation that the home baker can only earn $1,000 per month in gross revenue. My hope is that the board will see this as a low-risk way to encourage small businesses and entrepreneurs in the village. And my hope is that one day I will open a brick-and-mortar retail location in the village, and hopefully this can help me get off the ground to do that. And I'm happy to take any questions as well.
All right, any board members have any questions for Mrs. Riff?
Just in terms of, do you have a sanitation license from the state then?
Correct.
So do you think people should have that kind of requirement if they're going to participate in this?
I do. I am always careful in the kitchen when I'm baking for friends and family, but I think that I learned a lot from that 8 hours of training about the proper way to store food, how long certain foods can be, at room temperature versus in the refrigerator or heated. The law does limit this to, again, very low risk items, cakes, this is not food that needs to be maintained at a high heat or be refrigerated. These are, cakes and cupcakes that can sit out at room temperature for extended periods of time. So I think that if it's not required, it probably won't have a public safety impact, but I think that it can't hurt. And I'm glad that I got that license, even if it doesn't end up being required by River Forest.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Anything else you want to tell us?
Not that I didn't mention in that one-page public comment that I submitted.
All right. So that letter will be part of the consideration this evening, and will be submitted to the village board with our recommendation. Is there anyone else in the audience who's listening to us who wishes to address the board on this matter? Anybody?
I don't see anyone else.
Okay, so at this point, we're going to close the public portion of the meeting, and we as a board are going to discuss this proposed text amendment, and we will ultimately make a recommendation to the village board. So has anybody got any comments, any questions?
Lisa, does the state require people to have any training at all?
I'm don't know.
Like a sanitation, like, I mean, people go through at least a little training in terms of, like, handling a food?
That I don't know. I would have to check in with the sanitarian on that. If there is some sort of state requirement, then our health inspector would verify that that requirement has been met.
Yeah.
Anybody else have questions? All right, so as I thought about this proposed text amendment, I thought it was pretty ironic that the minutes that we approved tonight from the March meeting or the February meeting was just the opposite situation. At that time, we were asked to consider recommending an amendment to the land use chart that took a permitted use and made it a special use. And the minutes that we approved tonight had some reasons for that action. And primarily, the concern was that by having an occupation be a special use, the village had some control over it. That the special use process, you know, wasn't particularly time consuming or expensive, but what it did was to give village residents notice and give the village residents an opportunity to express to our board and to the board of trustees if they had any concerns with that use. And, you know, the records reflect that our attorney said that, you know, one of the problems that the special use process permitted the village to avoid was the clustering of the same type uses in a particular district, and that the impact on the proximity to neighboring properties and business of the new business is something that the Zoning Board of Appeals could consider at a special use hearing. And I'm quoting from the minutes that we just approved. And so, quite frankly, I don't understand how the village can come before us in February and say that the best thing that we can do is to have a special use process because that protects the village and protects the neighbors. And now they're making a proposed text amendment that does just the opposite, and it permits it would create this now as a permitted use, and there would be no notice to any neighbors, and no opportunity for the neighbors to address us if they saw potential problems with it. Now, that's just my consideration of this application. So anybody else got any comments?
I'm curious, has anyone ever tried to apply for a special use permit for an in-home food preparation, or have we heard an application for that?
There have been no special use applications for any home occupation because there is no home occupation. Well, excuse me. No, just to simply answer your question, no, we've never gotten a special use application for a home occupation.
But someone could do that, could apply for that.
Yes.
Yes.
They could.
That would be allowed. So to the woman that addressed us earlier, what sort of stands in your way of going that route? I'm just curious.
I think your phone is muted if you'd like to try to address that question. There you go.
Sorry about that. I was talking on mute. My understanding is that right now under the Illinois cottage food law, without this ordinance in place, I would be restricted to selling anything made in my home at farmers markets. And so without an ordinance in place, I'm not permitted to sell anywhere else. I'm not permitted to sell directly to consumers.
But you,
and that's what I was told when I contacted the village to get this all set up a couple months ago and was told that if I wanted to sell directly to consumers anywhere but at a farmer's market, that I would have to get this ordinance passed, and that's why I'm here.
Was it, did the village tell you that you could apply for a special use permit that would permit you to sell to consumers other than at a farmer's market?
No.
The way that the state statute reads near its end, it indicates that a home kitchen operation can only occur within a municipality that has adopted an ordinance authorizing specifically home kitchen operations. The village currently only makes reference to home occupations that, give me a second, involve the handling or preparation of food. So it does not specifically define a home kitchen operation. So currently the village code would not allow it. Certainly would not allow a person to apply for a special use in that regard.
So we could we amend the village code definition of whatever definition you just read to include a home kitchen, or
it's a possibility. The current amendments that are asked for now are essentially doing that, but they're also going further to say that a special use permit is not required because an occupation that involves the handling of food within the village in a residence requires a special use permit. So it's not removing that entire requirement. There could be other operations that are not considered home kitchen operations but involve processing food that would still require a special use permit. I cannot personally think off the top of my head what that might be.
Sausage making.
That was what I was going to say, I guess. Those would still require a special use.
So, right. So this text amendment is specific to a home baking operation.
Right.
So the impact of this text amendment would be that it's a permitted use, and there's no necessity to go through the special use process, and therefore that means there's no notice to anybody.
Correct. So we could always implement some sort of notice requirement, but there would not be a public hearing that would be needed. And this would, again, apply to a limited range of home occupation involving handling the food. Like we said, it would just be baking and not other types of food preparation or production.
Do you need the definition of baking? I mean, you can bake or roast. I mean,
the proposed text amendment includes a very specific definition of what baking means.
It includes baked goods, and it actually is, as I stated, it's very, very specific. The types of cookies, cakes, and pies, and certain fruits that seemingly are low threat as far as foodborne pathogens.
So the way the state defines it is baked goods such as, but not limited to, breads, cookies, cakes, pies, and pastries. Only high-acid fruit pies that use the following fruits are allowed, and then it runs through a list of fruits. If it's outside that list, then it would require a special use permit.
But the impact of this suggested text amendment is to make that occupation a permitted use.
Yes.
Without any notice to anybody. And so without any concern about the impact that it may have on the neighbors.
Right.
And I think to address the impact on neighbors, the way that it's been described to me, these types of businesses could technically go unnoticed in a great effect. And they may be going unnoticed at this current time throughout several communities. Differently than a high-volume business, even if it's located adjacent to a residential district or within a mixed-use district, it's unlikely that people are going to be coming to this location, if at all, very infrequently. These businesses could likely operate just as a normal home would. The only difference would be that the baker might be going or receiving supplies a little bit more frequently than a typical home, a person baking in their home, that they can still get them at the grocery store.
But this ordinance permits customers to come to the house to purchase the product, doesn't it?
Well, the village code does allow that, but it does not allow an increase.
The answer is yes. And it's possible that there could be odors from this kitchen that might impact the neighbors.
Well, a part of the village code within home occupations, one of the restrictions is that there shall be no noise, odor, dust, vibration, smoke, glare, television or radio interference, fire hazard, or any other hazard emanating from the dwelling so as to create a nuisance. And certainly, if a nuisance activity did occur, the village would be allowed to address it just like they would any other nuisance, likely first through its administrative process and then through circuit court adjudication.
There's also a restriction that's currently in place with regard to home occupations. So we know we have several home occupations in the community, and we know that at times they have visitors to the premises have client meetings and customer meetings. Within home occupations, there is currently a condition that says no more than two clients or customers shall visit the premises at the same time. In no case shall any client or customer visit the premises outside, or excuse me, at no time shall any client or customer visit the premises between the hours of 9 o'clock p.m. and 7 o'clock a.m. So there are restrictions built in within the definition of home occupation to mitigate the impact on surrounding property owners.
Yeah, this is Michael Smetana. That's why I think I distinguish this from our last request regarding the massage uses, is that it, from my read of the zoning ordinance, many of the things we would include as special conditions on a special use are already incorporated in the definition of home occupation as conditions to a home occupation. And really the only home occupation that is accepted as not allowed as a permitted use is this is food handling. And in this case, the state, in addition to what the zoning ordinance provides, also has a number of conditions on what a home baking operation can be. And I think from a land use perspective, I don't see how else I would restrict this type of use in a special use process. Relative to the massage use, I don't think that had the same type of built-in limitations in the ordinance itself. I will also say that I didn't vote for the massage use being a special use, so I didn't think that was valid either. So that's a little bit of my point of view as well.
So it may be worthwhile to just take a moment and review what is in the definition of home occupations and what restrictions already exist. We talked about visitation by clients or customers, the prohibition against signs, activities, lighting, or display. No stock in trade or other commodity shall be kept, displayed, sold, or offered for sale upon the premises, except that sales by electronic means, which otherwise comply with this definition, are permitted. Shall be no commodities sold or services rendered. Oh, excuse me, going back to that previous one, we're talking about amending that, though. Moving on to G, there shall be no commodity sold or services rendered that require receipt or delivery of merchandise, goods, or equipment by other than a passenger motor vehicle, or by parcel or letter carrier mail service using vehicles typically employed in residential deliveries. No deliveries by semi-tractor, trailer, trucks, and related to the home occupation are permitted. We already talked about noise, dust, and vibration. No storage of noxious, toxic, or harmful materials. They are subject to our business license requirements, so they are required to annually file a business license with the village. No separate entrance or structural modifications. Only one home occupation shall be conducted in any dwelling unit. And so those are, I think, probably the last two that I think are probably pretty relevant here. The generation of refuse in excess of limits currently established for residential dwellings is prohibited, and outdoor storage of any materials is prohibited.
Okay, anybody else have any comments? Does somebody want to make a motion for us to consider?
Michael, I move to approve the amendment, to recommend approval, I'm sorry. I move to recommend approval of the text amendment.
All right, is there a second to Michael's motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Joanna seconded.
Yep.
All right, so moved and seconded that we recommend to the Village Board of Trustees that the proposed text amendments be approved. Is there any discussion? All right, do you want to call the roll?
Sure. Mr. Smetana?
Yes.
Ms. Schuchkegel?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
No. Okay, so that's going to be the recommendation of the board, of our board, to the Village Board of Trustees.
Do you want me to, do we want to approve findings of fact tonight, or do you want to have an opportunity to come back and review those at a future meeting? That's up to you. I sent out a draft set of findings of fact ahead of time. To the extent that we need to modify those to reflect the vote, we can certainly do so.
All right. Do we have anything that you're aware of that's going to require us to have a meeting next month?
There are no pending applications before the zoning board besides this.
All right, so I don't think it's worth having a meeting simply to consider the findings of fact. So let's try and address them right now.
Okay.
All right, so the village has submitted to us two proposed sets of findings of fact. We'll consider the one that approves approves the recommendation of the text amendments.
Carmen, do you have those pulled up?
I do. I'm looking at them now.
Okay. I'm wondering if we can amend on the fly and if you could help me with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I left it blank for the vote.
Okay, so let me ask you, first of all, should these findings of fact reflect any standards, Carmen?
The text amendments are only going to reflect what was published and recommended. There was no discussion about changing the text of the definitions within the zoning code.
We're changing the land use chart.
Technically, no. It's actually just a definition within home occupations.
Are there certain standards, like the standards for variation, that should be addressed in this finding?
Well, because it's no longer going to be a special use, there won't be any standards for it. If we were making it a special use, there would be standards.
Oh. Do the findings of fact have to address any standards, or can it just be the flat-out vote is all we have to report?
We address the standards as far as a text amendment. And because text amendments can vary depending on parts of the code, there are no defined set, like there would be for a special use or a variance or a map.
Or a plan development.
Or plan development.
Standards of review like there would be for a variation.
As presented, these findings of fact are sufficient without addressing any particular set of standards.
That's correct. There's no defined set.
So we can obviously update the findings of fact to reflect the vote being 5-1 in favor of approval. But if there's any other language changes that we would like to see in those standards, we would ask you to just take a moment and let us know if you would like any changes to be made. I've got them up on the screen.
Yeah, I have a comment. I think our recommendation is in context with made in the context of the state statute and what's its requirements are. And I'm not sure if our decision might be different if we were just changing this on our own. So I think our recommendation, at least my vote is relied upon the requirements of the state statute. So I would like that to be reflected in the recommendation.
And I would like the recommendations to reflect that my vote was based on the fact that I believe that the special use permit process would adequately permit an applicant to make a presentation for this use and would give notice to adjoining owners of the proposed use. So with those two amendments, is everyone happy with these findings of fact? And are you happy we'll vote on the findings of fact tonight as if these amendments were in place? Carmen will redraft it, Village will send it to me, and then I'll sign them. Is that okay?
Good.
Sure.
Yes.
Somebody want to make a motion to approve the findings of fact as we've discussed them this evening?
I would make that to accept them as described.
Okay. A second to Mr. Burney's motion.
I will second.
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion. You want to call the roll, please, Lisa?
Sure. Mr. Burney?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Ms. Shukegel?
Yes.
Mr. Smetana?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so we've considered the text amendment. We've approved the findings of fact. At this point, we've been advised that there's nothing pending, so it's unlikely we'll have a meeting in July. We have a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Second. There's a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We're adjourned. Thank you for attending this evening.